Welcome to AKP's Digital Film Podcast. Now, this is a special podcast. This is a Man of Steel in-depth spoiler review. I can't talk about a movie without talking about the movie. So sorry if I spoil anything for you guys. You guys have been warned. I won't say it again. Let's get into this. What did I think? I think it was a phenomenal movie. Best Superman to date. It pays off big time if you've ever wanted to see Superman right off the bat. I'm going to tell you guys, Superman throws down. Like, there's action sequences, and he gives as much as he takes, and it's incredible to see. The CGI right off the bat, mixed in with the live action. What can you say? Zack Snyder, to me, has taken it to a different level. I was a little concerned that we were going to look at some sort of video gamey kind of CGI, which... we've come a long way in terms of computer-generated imagery, you know, compositing and whatnot. And it's amazing what they were able to pull off. It didn't look that fake to me, it blended so well with the live action and the CG. A lot of people were complaining about the shaky cam on and off, but the idea behind the shaky cam was established to shoot it like a semi-documentary, as if this was sort of happening, as we are almost a voyeuristic point of view, cinema verite point of view, almost that it's happening on Earth. And you know, you can only ground something in reality so far, and I think they did a good blend between trying to ground it in as much reality as possible and dealing with the fantastical. But that being said, I'll get into some of the quirks that I didn't like, which have nothing to do with really the story, but with locations and product placement. But so yeah, so it starts off the movie, Kal-El's born, Superman, Man of Tomorrow, whatever you want to call him, Clark Kent. He's being born on Krypton. It's the first natural birth in a millennia, because Krypton has pretty much become this society, this matrix society of engineered embryos, Gattaca, so to speak, where everybody is engineered to do a specific job on Krypton. So you take, you know, any flaws, etc., and you pretty much make the perfect human for the perfect job, for the perfect whatever. You know, you build someone to fuck, he's gonna fuck really well, because that's his sole purpose. So that leads us to General Zod in this movie is an in-depth villain. He's not just this fucking crazy guy that just wants to destroy fucking people, kill people for no fucking reason. He's not a psychopath. He was engineered to be Krypton's protector at all cost, Krypton's people. His sole purpose, his existence, is to ensure the survival of his people at all costs, and he will never stop until you know, that's his job. So I gave him a couple layers, you know, so I thought that was pretty interesting, the performance. So natural birth, it's more or less in secrecy. So they have the kid. They're already talking about, you know, Krypton is, you know, the core is unstable. They've been, you know, he's taught. And then, the ship's already there, and, you know, you get it. So it's a fast track. What I loved about it, and I think a lot of people might complain about it, is that from what I hear, there's a lot of people complaining about the character development. Oh, they didn't spend enough time with the story and character development. Look, if you saw Superman Returns, you saw Superman the movie, you saw Superman 2, you've seen Smallville. We invested 10 years in Smallville with little to no payoff at the end. There were good episodes, bad episodes, but overall, we got the picture of the or. It was a 10-year origin story of Clark Kent becoming Superman. So we know backwards and forwards, twisted or not, through the comics, through the movies, whatever. We don't need to be spoon-fed the fucking origin story all over again. That being said, the way they did the origin story, the way they fast-tracked it, they didn't spend too much time on Krypton. We're spending about, I would say, the first 20 minutes on Krypton before it goes boom. Spoiler. Boom, right? We all know Krypton. Yeah. So and it just moves on from there, just really fast tracked. So you know, he Jor-El's trying to talk to the Council of Kryptonians that run the planet, I guess, that look, you know, we gotta somehow he's trying to save Krypton. He's trying to tell him, look, you know, the core's unstable, the fucking planet's gonna explode, blah 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 blah. You know the story. So these guys are being, you know, kind of ignorant. They don't want to give him this codex of it's called a codex, which is pretty much the genetic makeup of all Kryptonians. So Jor-El's asking for the codex to ensure the survival of the Kryptonian people. Now Zod comes in right off the bat, boom, insurgency takes over. That's his job. These guys aren't fucking listening, so he's gonna take over. Jor-El has a problem with that. It's like, you know, this is fucking madness. What's your problem, dude? You know, I'll still honor the fucking man you were, but not this monster you become. But you know, Jor-El needs to also understand that this guy was engineered to protect Krypton, and these fuckers are ignoring everything that you're trying to do to save it. So now I gotta step in and fucking, you know, take care of business. That being said, it wasn't done very diplomatic-y or anything like that. It was just kind of just like, okay, you know, I'm gonna fucking right away, I'm gonna kill some of you guys and I'm gonna throw you guys anyway. So that happens. Jor-El doesn't want to go along with him. So Zod tells, you know, his crew to fucking take him away, General Zod. See, this guy's a military guy, so he's obviously versed in combat and everything. So are his minions and whatnot, if you will, if you his military backup, if you will. And so they're taking him to not really sure where, a prison or wherever, but Jor-El manages to escape. So we fast forward to he's putting on his armor. He's ready to launch the rocket. He's got the codex. He was able to snatch the codex and embed it into Super Kal-El, Man of Tomorrow, whatever you want to call him, in the genetic makeup. So inherently, this movie establishes that the salvation of Krypton, the Krypton genetic code that can rebuild and re-engineer Kryptonians, etc., is all genetically encoded into Superman. Now, Jor-El has this little key that he makes, which essentially is this key that activates different parts of ships, electronics that they have technology, and embodies the essence of Jor-El. So that comes into play later. Now, so the ship takes off. Zod and Jor-El have a little bit of a fight, which was pretty badass. Jor-El holds his own, but at the end gets killed by Zod, stabs him because you know, he's mad because the Codex is gone, and that was the only hope to rebuild Kryptonians and the Kryptonian society. So for Zod, it was just like, well, a big fuck you to what he was engineered to do. Still not understanding. You know, the problem with Zod is that when you're engineered like that, you only see one thing, and that was, you know, he doesn't see all sides and points of view of things. You know, Jor-El's more of a scientific man, and etc. And Lara, you know, and the House of El glyph symbol is a symbol of hope. So you kind of already know where their house lies. You know, they're about hope and peacefulness and etc., saving people and whatnot. So anyway, so Jor-El dies watching his son fucking go to Earth. They try to take the ship down, but didn't happen because the planet leaders were able to take control back, and they fucking arrest Zod and his people, sent him to the Phantom Zone. And ironically, the Phantom Zone saves them while Krypton explodes. Now, while Krypton explodes, they are set free because of the explosion or whatnot. They retrofit a couple of ships to just fucking go out. We find out later, I'm gonna jump all over the place, but we find out later that over the past several thousand years, Krypton has sent different ships, terraforming ships, to different planets to try and they're like outposts and try and figure out, okay, well, if we ever did need to abandon ship, where can we rebuild our civilization? So anyway, so then we go and Clark's grown. You see him working on a fishing boat, whatnot. And his backstory on how he grew up are only shown through flashbacks, which I thought was great because we don't need to spend time watching Clark Kent grow up and discover his powers and whatnot. I spent 10 fucking years, watching that, reading that. We all fucking know. So, it's being fast-tracked. All this is happening really fast. It's a 2.5 hour movie, but it doesn't feel like it. I mean, it's just packed with so much information. At first, it's almost like, whoa, you're hitting me with too much stuff. And I think that's the problem that people have with it, is that they're being hit with so much at once. It's probably going to take two or three viewings for you to kind of get all the Easter eggs and kind of just appreciate the idea that this is a Superman action-packed movie. This is the movie that we've been asking for over the past several years. I've read how they fucked up Superman Returns, how there wasn't enough action, how there was too much drama, how they pretty much shat on Superman, and Superman was never going to be a viable franchise. So now we're given an action-packed Superman. They listen to the fans, and still, certain people aren't happy. Go figure. Everybody's got to bitch about something. But I'm not here to push that you have to like the Man of Steel. I'm just here to push my point of view of why I liked it and maybe enlighten you on why you should give it a second chance if you didn't like it. Okay, so he's grown up, his backstories, certain pivotal points and that make up who he was, so you kind of get the gist for people that don't really know that much about Superman. Especially in this movie, you see Ma and Pa Kent in his flashbacks, helping him grow up, becoming the man he is, giving him character. Jonathan Kent is doing everything and anything, trying to teach his son how to, okay, well, you gotta be in control of what you are, what your powers are. There's a point in the movie where he's being bullied, and then, he doesn't do anything. He restrains himself barely. But Jonathan, says it's like, what would you have gotten pretty much out of it if you would have beat him up or whatever, especially because you're stronger than him. There could be consequences. And essentially, Jonathan's role in this is pretty much telling him that, good or bad, when you're ready to do what you want to do with these powers, whether it's for evil or for good, that's a choice you're gonna have to make. He tells him, he's from a different world. He doesn't take it that well, but it's something that needed to be told. But once again, we're told through this stuff in flashbacks that are triggered by events or just things that he sees that kind of trigger these flashbacks. So we're being told the story through flashbacks, which is pretty good. Moving forward, he's already grown up and he's working at different jobs. Lois Lane is trying to track this guardian, this angel or whatever that he's been talked about. So he's actually Superman in a way without the suit. He's been Superman. He's been wandering the earth, fucking like Kenan Kung Fu and shit, and trying to figure out who he is, where he belongs, and a road of self-discovery. And throughout all this, he's saving people. He's saved, hundreds of people at this point throughout the years, secretly. So he's a secret savior. So he's, like I said, he's already Superman. He's got his heat vision down. He doesn't know how to fly yet, but pretty much all of his powers are pretty much honed. He knows his X-ray vision, he knows his heat vision, his super hearing, super speed. So he's got all that stuff down. So pretty much he's been using these things, these powers, to save people throughout his odd jobs that he has throughout the world. Now, Lois Lane in this movie is completely different than any Lois Lane we've ever seen. And that being said, I think it was a good refreshing take on Lois Lane. And once again, if you read the comics, they rebooted the New 52s. They've done many story arcs, many different iterations of Lois Lane. So being the fact that she gets to know who Superman is right off the bat kind of eliminates that idea that fuck, we have to sit through how many movies before she finds out, or we have to sit here and watch the Pulitzer Prize reporter not know that this guy is Superman just because he puts on a pair of glasses. Now, I'll go along with you on that if that's the world you establish, but it has to work. So, either you know or you don't know. So I like that she knows ahead of time who he is and whatnot. But anyway, so yeah, she's trying to track him down, and through this tracking down, he discovers this outpost ship, which she's at the same location, and pretty much has this the little key that he was given by Jor-El in his spaceship, and it has a little S and it's a little key. So he puts the key into the ship and it starts it up, and he saves Lois from this attacking robot guardian of the ship or whatever you want to call it. Anyway, so she's off the ship, she's safely off the ship. Jor-El's essence consciousness is in the ship, and he starts being told the ship obviously takes off, goes somewhere remote, somewhere in the Antarctic or whatever. I saw polar bears and ice, so I figure it's the Antarctic or whatever. But it's not necessarily the Fortress of Solitude. It's actually just a ship, and there he's told where he comes from, why he was sent here. Jor-El tells him everything in a concise, tight, quickly explained something that we already know. So he pretty much, dons the suit. Jor-El tells him he needs to push his limits, keep pushing your limits, because he's also surprised on how powerful he's become on Earth. He wasn't expecting him to soak up the rays or the radiation of the sun and become as powerful as he's become. So he tells me you got to keep testing your limits, et cetera, et cetera. What we know about Jor-El is pretty much fundamentally stays the same. Played excellent by Russell Crowe. So he tries a couple times to fly, fails, but then boom, the part in the trailer where you see him take off into the clouds, just smiles all over his face. So inherently he's like half human, half Kryptonian. So he's fucking got the suit now. He knows how to fly. He still hasn't mastered it completely. So there we are. Now the suit also has a sense of functionality. In the past iterations of especially if we go to the source material essentially Martha Kent made the Superman suit out of the cloths that he was wrapped in his spaceship. So in this version, we get the idea that the suit is almost like this these what I would call pajama comfies or whatever you want to call them, which the almost like long johns that go, and it's a caped society. So on Krypton, everybody has these suits, whether they be black, green, blue, whatever you have them. They all have glyph shields, like the S stands for the hope, and then there's a Zod glyph and et cetera. Each house has their own shields and glyphs, and but they all wear that Superman suit underneath with their glyphs. And why they wear it is that armor goes over it, or dress robes go over it. And when you're not in that stuff, you kind of walk around in that. It's almost like normal clothes for them. Very organic looking, very it's a cape society. So that's the why, and the suit is there for him from the House of El, and he dons the suit, but he doesn't need any armor to put over it or anything, because obviously he's Superman. Okay, so we just keep fast forwarding. He goes back to his house. They visit Martha Kent. He tells him that he found his people. He found that, and she's kind of happy about it, but still concerned about it. The essential part of Clark Kent's upbringing was that Jonathan kept telling him, "Look, you got to keep this yourself a secret because." The people of Earth, he was convinced that we're not ready for this. We don't want you to be taken away from us. We don't want anything bad to happen to you. Not only that, but it would change the world, it would flip the world on its head. His thought was that it would call into question humanity, faith, everything that we know would come into question. Not only that, but the government would get involved, et cetera, et cetera. So in the best interests to protect his adopted son, his son, he doesn't want him to use his powers out in the open because he wants to protect him. So it does come from a good standpoint. So with that upbringing, plus the morality that we know that, do good, Jonathan and Martha Kent are very good people, and they did the best they could to raise a child like that. Good and bad, through good and bad, and you get the sense that he got his morals and his way of looking at life and helping people because of his upbringing, because he had two good people. So he goes visits mom. His mom still shares a little bit of that concern and whatnot. But anyway, so we keep going, fast forwarding. Zod was able to track down over the past 33 years. He's been looking for the Codex, looking for Kal-El, looking for a place to rebuild Krypton. Once again, this is his sole purpose, to ensure the survival of the Kryptonian race, his people, his race. So, you could imagine someone on Earth being that way about our race. So 33 years of searching and nothing. Until, because Clark activates that ship that has Clark's I mean Jor-El's consciousness activates a beacon, and he was able to track him down to Earth. He through all the TVs usurps the satellites or whatever is projecting television signals and whatnot, and tells people, as you've seen in the trailers, you are not alone, blah 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 blah, tells them, you need to surrender this alien that's been living amongst you in hiding. He may look like you, but he's not you. We need him. You have 24 hours. If you don't surrender, you will suffer the consequences, and it'll be all on your head, Kal-El. It's pretty much that. That's it. So the government gets involved, finds out that Lois knows something, so they track her down, and she's trying to protect the source of who he really is and where he is. But ultimately, Clark makes the decision to come out, to surrender himself, and that's where you get the whole military thing. So he surrenders himself for the greater good, but he knows that Zod can't be trusted, so he doesn't know necessarily. He tells the government, the officers, the generals, whatever, that pretty much, look, I'm gonna surrender. I'm not gonna fight, and hopefully he'll go away. But he can't be trusted, and we'll see what happens. So he goes on Zod's ship. They ask for Lois Lane, and she has to go on that ship. She gets put on that ship, and that ship has Krypton's atmosphere. It's a ship with an atmosphere. Because obviously they're not adapted to Earth's atmosphere and whatnot. And Clark, being on Earth so long, is not adapted to Krypton's atmosphere. So there he starts getting sick, throwing up blood, pretty much it has to run its course because he becomes as weak as a human. So almost kryptonite. Anything from Krypton can make him weak. So there's that hint right there. And then, he gets mind probed, him and Lois. But you see this semi dream sequence where Zod tells Clark exactly why he's here, why he's been looking for them, and in a way that you really get to sympathize. And I like the idea that Zod isn't this fucking mindless psychopath that he's, just out to kill the world. No, he literally tells Clark in a very somewhat emotional way that, this is, he wants Kal-El to be a part of his crew. He wants him to help rebuild Krypton on Earth by terraforming it and making the atmosphere into Kryptonian atmosphere. But in order to do that, they have to destroy Earth. So Clark's not having it. He doesn't get the sense that they're willing to share. So, Jor-El comes in. He gave the little key thing right when they got on the ship secretly to Lois. So Lois was able to put it into one of these devices and upload Jor-El's consciousness. Jor-El takes over the ship, helps them escape, essentially, and tells Clark, "You can save her. You can save all of them." So on we go. Zod is determined to kill everybody on Earth to rebuild his society. In his eyes, it's a justification. So we just fast forward to Superman just going into action, fighting Feyora, fighting Zod, these epic battle sequences, which are very hard to describe. I mean, but they're just epic. And you get a sense of speed, strength, and something that we've never seen before in live action. And it's amazing. This guy's just trying to do the right thing to protect his planet. So they come up with a way, Jor-El tells them a way to put them back into the Phantom Zone. So while Clark's fighting, Zod's minions, pretty much the military and Lois are on a plan that Clark said, "Look, this is what we got to do. We got to crash my spaceship into their spaceship, and the collision or whatever will open a black hole and it'll suck them back into the Phantom Zone. End of story." So that's their plan. So while they're doing that, he's fighting the minions, blah, 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 this. So essentially, we just battle after battle. There's a lot of action. And to essentially wrap it up, everyone gets sent back to the Phantom Zone. Except for Zod. Zod manages to stay on Earth, pretty much tells Clark, "Look, you, my sole purpose was to protect Krypton, was to ensure everything. So you took my soul away." So he's fucking pissed. "You took my purpose away, essentially." So he's so mad. He's gonna make Earth's people suffer while Clark watches. And they just start going at it and whatnot. And finally, Zod learns how to zone, how to, not zone, hone his powers. Because at first he was kind of discombobulated and he was hearing things, X-ray vision, everything all at once. Something that over the years, Clark was able to control. But Zod, being a military leader, engineered to always be in control of his senses and in his actions and whatnot, was able to finally, control his powers and develop the flight aspect. And he rips off all his armor because he knows he doesn't need it. So now we have two guys in similar suits, except Zod's is black. Yeah, but it goes on to epic battle. They duke it out, and essentially, Zod tells Clark that, "Look, this isn't gonna end unless you kill me or I kill you." So faced with that, you guys, they're fighting. Finally, they get thrown into Grand Central Station, and a Grand Central Station, Metropolis's Grand Central Station, and he pretty much is choking Zod, trying to restrain him, telling him to stop. And Zod pretty much, "Well, if you love these people, I want you to mourn them. I want you to see them die." So he targets a family with like two kids, two parents, and they're cornered, and his heat vision is right about to fucking kill this poor innocent family, and with all his strength, Superman's just telling him, please stop, stop, stop this, don't do this, stop this. And Zod, pretty much says, N I will never stop. So being faced with that, Clark snaps his neck and kills him right before the family's killed. And there's a little bit of a silence there, and Superman just lets out this tearful scream of, he's horrified at what he's done. He doesn't like what he had to do. And I think that's a great thing. I think a lot of people be like, oh, Superman doesn't fucking kill. He doesn't fucking kill. It's like, you know what? If we're grounding this, if this is a retelling of the story, if we're grounding this in the cinematic reality, one, he had pretty much no choice at the time. And two, I think it's a great setup for Superman doesn't kill aspect. Well, why doesn't he kill? Because he didn't like the feeling. He didn't want to experience that again. So I think that that's where they're going with him killing Zod, sets him up to control his powers and to never do that again. Essentially, that's what I got from it. So I think it's a pretty good catalyst, and I liked it because it humanizes him more. It makes him because Superman before was almost, in the movies you never see too many flaws or anything like that. And I like the idea that this Superman is flawed and is always in constant question of what he should and shouldn't do in this movie especially. And not only that, this is an establishing movie, so I love the idea that they fast-tracked everything, that everything is given to you on a platter in a way that it's a little bit discombobulating at times if you don't know Superman mythology and you're expecting Richard Donner's or Superman Returns. You're not going to get this. What's cool though, there was a couple of moments where Henry Cavill looked like Christopher Reeve, looked like Tom Welling, looked like Brandon Routh. It was kind of weird. It's like he embodied all these Superman entities that have all donned the suit. But the cast was incredible. And if you spent the last 10 years watching Smallville or just underwhelming representations of Superman and always being told more or less what he can do, but never really delivering on a scope that Zack Snyder was able to deliver. Because essentially this is a Zack Snyder movie. Either you love him or you hate him, but a lot, also the shaky cam choice and the cinematography and the grit and the grain, all purposefully done to make it feel like this was somewhat happening as a semi-documentary, so almost like a voyeuristic cinema verite type of filming. So my gripes with the movie, to close up so I don't take any more of your time, is skip the 3D. This is the first time I've ever said this about any movie. I'm a big supporter of 3D. I got a bunch of 3D Blu-rays. I love 3D. But it added the post conversion of this 3D added nothing to it. I didn't even know it was 3D. There were very few and far between moments that, getting hoarse here, that were 3D-ish. But definitely the first time I've ever thought that it was pointless. It doesn't add to it. Also, because of the way it was shot, the camera's always moving, it's constant movement. So my wife is prone to motion sickness, and I told her, look, I mean, if we go see this 3D thing, there's a chance that you might get nauseated one. And lo and behold, she had to miss like certain key parts because she almost puked, and I feel so bad for her. So if you're prone to motion sickness, also save yourself a couple bucks and just go see the 2D version. You'll definitely be happier than if you saw 3D. Like I said, the 3D version adds nothing to it and just more cost. This is the first time I've said that about anything, especially if you have your motion sickness. I don't think this movie needs any help in terms of 3D. So I gotta give it, I can't even rate it on a scale because oh, and my other gripe was Zack Snyder said that they put like 7-Eleven and Sears and real places to make it feel like it's happening here on Earth, to ground it more in reality. But I have a suspicion that it's all product placement. So it kind of, it almost becomes very obviously be obvious because especially with the Nokia thing, they hold each person that has a phone is a Nokia and they have to show the emblem. It's kind of funny, that Nikon cameras and Sears and 7-Eleven, and it's just that kind of threw me off a little bit. But the action is incredible. The CGI is at its best. It's seamless. There's a lot of action, a lot of shaky cam stuff. So if you're not into that, you might not enjoy it. But if you want to see the Man of Steel kick ass with someone that is up to par with his powers, you're in for the ride of your life. It's an action-packed from non-stop action. It's an establishing story, and the way it ends is pretty much he goes works at the Daily Planet. We get the idea that Lois helped him kind of come to that decision. He dons the glasses, and he's Clark Kent, and Lois knows who he is. And I like that because we don't have to go through that bullshit where it's like she can't really tell, really, She's in front of both of these assholes all the time and she can't tell, as opposed to other people, which might argue the fact that, okay, well, he revealed himself to the world. Everybody kind of knows what he looks like. Just because he puts on a pair of glasses doesn't mean he's not going to be recognizable. Okay, agreed. But if that's the world being set up that only Lois is able to recognize him, then I'll go along with you on that. But it has to stay like that. You can't be like, the next one, everybody finds out, or some people find out. It has to be just Lois and, Martha, obviously. And that's pretty much it. And I honestly, in the way they left it, is literally there's no end credit sequences, so don't stay after the credits. There's nothing. You just kind of waste your time. But it is left open. You're left with Clark is at the Daily Planet now, and pretty much sets it up for part two for a sequel, which they're fast tracking apparently. And very satisfied. I wanted to make sure that I gave this review some time after I saw it. I didn't really want to I didn't want to do a review of this movie right when I came out of it, because you know how sometimes you come out of a movie, you're super energized, your adrenaline's running, and you're kind of blindsided on the positives and negatives. So I decided to, wait a day to do this review, to soak in everything and to reflect to make sure that I still felt the same way. I'm gonna have another review with my wife and my teenage daughter, female review, point of view, and where they don't know as much of the mythology as I do. And to see what their take is on it, so you don't get just a biased opinion. But you got to understand, the argument with the underpants, everybody, which is one of the stupidest arguments, like I said. If you look at the new 52 comics, the new Superman, it pretty much looks exactly the same as very reminiscent of the Man of Steel suit, no underpants, and I think that looks ridiculous. Zack Snyder said it was left over from the strong man of Victorian times, so they kind of threw that away. And I think it just makes it more believable, because you look at a guy with his underwear out of his pants, it just kind of makes you laugh at this point. We're 2013. Plus the retelling, we know this is a reboot, a retelling, but essentially the core elements are still there. Everything is still there. So the idea that the character development wasn't there, the character development is going to be there in the sequels. This was just like, okay, let's get this going. Nobody's had Superman been treated like this. I've never seen Superman throw down in a live action flick, and I love the fact that it was more action than character development, because all that character development is there. You know these characters. They've been developed over 75 fucking years. We don't need that character development. And if it does happen, it will happen in the sequel. But essentially, you know who Perry White is. You know who Lois Lane is. You know who Clark Kent is. You know who Ma and Pa Kent are. You know who Jor-El is. Okay, so I think the only people that needed maybe a little bit more character development was Zod, but being that, he's just kind of a throwaway villain in this movie, which is kind of sad because he did have layers, but I think that some of the dialogue that was given to him was kind of a little bit corny at times. But at the same time, there's lightheartedness. We do get a more serious Superman, which. If you know the comics and some of the cartoon straight to Blu-ray movies that have dealt with Superman, he's really not the guy that's gonna crack a bunch of jokes. He doesn't really have a sense of humor, more or less. It was kind of funny how people are comparing it to Richard Donner, how it was lighthearted. There are lighthearted moments. There are jo a couple of jokes here and there, but I like the fact that Superman is a serious character, not as serious or dark as Batman, not nearly as brooding. But by the end of the film, I mean, throughout the film, you get this lighthearted person, but at the same time, he's a very serious person when he has to be. So my review on a scale of 1 to 10, I would honestly give it an 8 because I think there's room to improve on certain things like the product placement. I think the villain that they chose was good, but I think that for some reason Zod's performance fell a little flat on me. I thought Pharaoh was really badass. Her lines were incredibly delivered, and I kind of felt that I wanted to see more of her in Superman Throwdown than not that I'm saying Michael Shannon is a bad actor, but all actors were firing on all cylinders. Kevin Costner gives a great performance. Diane Lane, Russell Crowe by far gives a really, really great performance. And I'm not a big Russell Crowe fan. And Henry Cavill embodies Superman. Clark Kent, the lines that he was given delivered him flawlessly. He's believable as Superman, and he you can tell he's got the acting chops to not only do the physical, but also to do the emotional and just deliver good acting. So I'm excited for the sequel. It's a movie that I'm definitely going to buy on Blu-ray and watch it over and over again. And so there you go, guys. That's my opinion. And give it some thought. It's a retelling, it's a reboot, and some things don't necessarily translate very well. Especially now, we're in 2013. Many, many years have passed since the Richard Donner films. And if anything, those films, for nostalgic reasons, Christopher Reeve did a great job with it. Richard Donner did a great job for it, but it was good for its time. But I think that for this time, I really enjoyed what I saw. And reflecting back on it, I enjoyed it even more now that I think about it, because it was action packed and with substance. Not that much substance, but it's Superman, guys. It's not Tony Stark, it's not Thor, it's not Marvel, it's Superman. And after 10 years of wanting to see a payoff of Smallville, you get it in this movie. Because when I was watching it, honestly, if you watch Smallville, you get that this movie is a nod to Smallville, but on steroids. It's like Smallville on steroids. So I like the idea that we just fast tracked directly to action. There's little to no romance at all. They don't spend too much time with the mushy mushy or this and that, which I do like. I do like movies like that, films. But this is just an action-packed Man of Steel, Superman, summer blockbuster, Zack Snyder, visual sexual fest. And the reason I say sexual is because it's a fucking sexy movie, dude. It's a fucking sexy movie. I think David S. Goyer and Christopher Nolan did a great job producing and writing the material, grounding those parts and giving Zack Snyder the free reins to run free in terms of do what you do best, direct this fucking movie, make it visually stunning, bring what you can to Superman that nobody else has been able to do, which is essentially make him fucking kick ass in a believable way. And I think that job accomplished, mission accomplished. A lot of people didn't like Sucker Punch. I got Sucker Punch. A lot of people didn't like it because they didn't get it or whatever the case may be, but I thought it was a visual fest. I thought it was a great story. You obviously have to suspend your beliefs with this stuff. Watchmen was an incredible adaptation of Watchmen, the graphic novel, and 300. I loved. Now, there is no slow motion in this movie, so don't worry about the Zack Snyder slow motion. It's a completely different feel, and you have to kind of go that way. But I'm very, keen on digital, on RED, digital cameras, 4K and whatnot. But I gotta say, the use of film for this movie added something to the aesthetic of the movie. The grain structure, the fact that it was shot on film does add this unique look to it. The desaturated palette and the color choices were very good. The cinematography was very good. I know a lot of people aren't big fans of the shaky cam, but it does have its purpose. I don't like the shaky cam kind of movies, but I think that it was done in a very artistic way. And it didn't bother me as much as I thought it would. So I got to give it from a scale of 1 to 8. It could have had a little bit more, less product placement. And but if you are concerned that you're not going to get enough action in this, or you're not going to see Superman kick ass or fly, there's a bunch of fucking flying, there's a bunch of kicking ass, and I love the fucking heat vision. It's as it should be. So that's IKP's review of The Man of Steel. In-depth spoilers. We'll have another review with my wife Sherry and my daughter Faith, and get a different perspective, see what they thought. And that way you have kind of two sides. And we'll probably do that within the next day or so. And thanks for stopping by.